We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari America, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. It is November 20th. We are almost at Thanksgiving. We're at week 11. Season is clicking along pretty well here. If you could please rate or review the podcast, that'd be fantastic. We would greatly appreciate that. Goes a long way towards helping people find the podcast, helping people like the podcast. So we would appreciate a good number of stars there if you do enjoy listening to us all year long. I am Scott Jenstead, joined as always on Friday mornings by Andrew Laird. Andrew, we're just talking about all kinds of stuff going on. This is a different slate, I guess I would call it. People always go with interesting or weird. I'm going to go with different. We've got a lot of big name teams that aren't playing on the slate. Last night we had the Cardinals and Seahawks play. So there's a couple of teams that you either want to target or target against in a lot of games. The Chiefs play on Sunday night. A lot of big names are off this slate. There's a couple of really, really, really huge name running backs. I think they're going to be pretty popular. And then we've got a lot of cheaper guys to talk about. So it should be fun. It should be different. I think there's a lot of spread percentage around the slate as opposed to last week when we had a lot of Mike Davis and Aaron Jones over 40% in a lot of GPPs and way, way higher in cash games. So, but more than anything, before we hit the week 11 slate, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I was just thinking earlier, as there was news that Myles Garrett was added to the COVID list today. But at the beginning of the season, I think we weren't fully convinced that there would be a week 11. And COVID's actually significantly worse now than it was then. And yet here we are in week 11 with really no signs of slowing down. So
do you feel like we're like a domino waiting for a whole bunch of things to fall, or do you feel like there's going to power through?
Can it be both?
My answer was going to be because I think it's both.
It just seems like
the NFL is going full steam ahead here. Yeah. No matter, we're seeing more and more cases, and guys are just kind of going home and doing contact tracing. And we saw with the Niners Packers game a couple weeks ago where they're just the Niners were missing half their offense.
Yeah.
And they went ahead and played it. So I feel like both is the right answer by you.
Yeah, I think if there's anything that has been a little bit surprising is that we know about these guys beforehand. There was so much worry that we were going to find out Sunday morning that somebody was out. But we're actually finding out ahead of time, which theoretically makes it – I mean, not theoretically, makes it much easier for us because you're not scrambling Sunday morning. It's just – And people joked about it before the season that like the world could be burning down and the NFL is just going to keep going. And here we are. We're still going.
We are. So we're into week 11. Overall slate, we got four teams on bye again this week. We got the Bills, Bears, Giants, and Niners. I feel like that's a pretty good group that we usually don't play too much anyway. Maybe the Bills would be the one that sticks out as we're losing some offensive players. But Bears, Giants, and Niners. I don't think we're really losing much on our fantasy teams right there. We are losing a lot. We mentioned on the standalone games we had Cardinals, Seahawks last night, which is kind of an uglier game than I think people are expecting. I think that I could go on an hour long rant on Thursday Night Football in general, but probably nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear about the Week 11 slate. We got Chiefs, Raiders Sunday night. And then Rams Tampa on Monday night, kind of more of an interesting football game than a carnival bonanza fantasy game. But those other two, Arizona, Seattle, and Chiefs Raiders have are the two highest totals on the entire slate. So losing those games definitely is going to make this slate a little more different than we're used to.
Yeah, we usually look at like 49 and we're like, oh, that's like the fifth highest game, so I don't need to touch that one. So it's not like we have like really low ones. But yeah, everything's like really condensed. I said this to you earlier in the week that I think I might like play a little more GPP this week. I'm usually a cash game player.
Nice. But like it.
It's there are just like so many ways you can go this week, which makes it I guess somebody could argue it's actually a tougher GPP way because when there is such significant chalk, then it's easier to fade it. But I just think with so many ways you can go, you can get really creative this week and get guys that like probably shouldn't be as low as they are. Just because everybody's so spread out.
Yeah, when I look at the slate, almost always I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be popular, this guy's going to be popular, this guy's not. Like, you could kind of tell a few obvious ones. And aside from the couple top running backs we're going to talk about, I think this slate's pretty spread out in terms of ownership and percentages. And I don't think there's a ton of like, oh, this is an obvious play right here, which I think makes it more fun. I know you like as a cash game player, you like when Mike Davis is 4,000, everybody has him, but I tend to not like it. And last week, you know, you kind of had to play him, but he didn't really do very much. So it didn't really work out. Although, you know, the money saved is always, always very important. But you mentioned the high total games. We have Falcons Saints at 52, Packers Colts with an over under of 51.5. So like last week we had two games that were 56, 57, and then a few in the 50s. We've kind of had, I think most of the weeks we've had like five or six games in the 50s, but yeah. We have two this week, as you mentioned. There's one game at 45, the Broncos and Dolphins, and every other game, which would be eight, are between 46 and 49.5. So like finding your game this week, finding that game you want to stack and really play, is going to be a great strategy because you're going to have – there's no obvious, like, I'm just going to stack this game and come back with another player. There's none of that this week when you've got every single game is within 7 points in the total.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to point out that the team with the highest implied total is in a game with one of the lower, like, game totals. Like, Pittsburgh-Jacksonville, the last one I checked, is 46. But with Pittsburgh minus 10.5, they're 28.25. Points are the highest implied total of the slate. So like even just ignoring, like if you're like, oh, that game has too low of a total, but it's like actually the one team has the highest total team total of the slate. So you can really play around this week.
So what you're telling me is you're just going all in on James Conner.
It's funny you say that. So like that James Conner specifically is the reason why I was like, maybe this is a better GPP week. We'll obviously like get into running backs, but like, so last week or 2 weeks ago was David Johnson concussion 2 weeks ago? Yeah, two weeks ago.
Yep, yep.
So it was like David Johnson that week made like a ton of sense. The Texans were heavily favored. They were going to give him a bunch of carries. The same thing applied to the Bears. They weren't quite as big a favorite, but like David Montgomery made a ton of sense that week. And it was like those two plays, from like a football, like if you take out the fundamental like DFS things of like running backs on big favorites who get a lot of carries are usually very good plays, and you throw that part out and you're like, are these good football players? You're like, no, they're not. So it's like there's you have that battle of like how much does knowing football come into play. And my opinion of that week, well, I think I played Johnson that week, but I wasn't coming close to Montgomery. But I hate to say that, like, I feel like everybody who played them got bailed out because we didn't find out if they were terrible. Like the process told you there were good plays, but the process was incomplete because they are just not very good football players anymore. So the problem that we have with Connor, who I think is still a very good football player, but like that he checks all the boxes of like a running back on a huge favorite. They have the highest implied total. And it's like, do I really want to play him?
Yeah, and he's not that cheap. And we'll get into when we get into running backs, that mid-tier is a spot that I have a lot of trouble with this week. I like the expensive guys. I like a couple cheap guys. But the mid-tier, I can kind of poke holes in everybody. So let's jump into running backs. We've got we have two obvious ones at the top. I want to hit those first. We have Dalvin Cook against Dallas and Alvin Kamara against Atlanta. I do have to note that Kamara missed practice yesterday. So I think that today is a pretty big day for Kamara in terms of is he going to play. I think he's still going to be fine. I think it's probably a workload thing, but you know, he's got a little bit of foot injury, so worth checking. But both these guys are big name guys, really good guys that are good every week, and they have great matchups this week. I mean, Cook is against Dallas, nice game trip, 7.5 point favorite, the Vikings in that game. He only had 96 yards last week against the Bears. He had 30 carries, so it wasn't really an efficient game for him. But I mean, we're talking about he's off a 22 for 206 against Detroit, a 30 for 163 at Green Bay. So I mean, this is a guy that has been awesome. I think last week was the first week he hadn't scored. Any worry, first of all, on Cook about 34 touches last week on a Monday night coming to a short week? Does that play into your mindset at all when you decide on this week?
No,
I don't think it does me either. That's a lot of touches. Maybe if they get up, you know, 21, maybe they go with some Alexander Mattison down the stretch. But I'm full in on Cook this week. You know, I love Cook anyway, and we've talked about Cook many times. You know, Dallas did hold Pittsburgh, you know, your boy James Conner to a nothing last week running. But I mean, the weeks before that, Boston Scott was 15 for 70. Antonio Gibson had 120 yards. Kenyon Drake had 164. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, the elite running backs here. They've all done well against Dallas. If we're talking about picking between these two guys, it's easily Cook for me. But what I did last night is I tried to do both of them. I think it's workable. It's really hard. But I came up with a pretty decent lineup that I didn't hate going with both of them. So I wonder how many people are going to try and do that this week because they stick out so much among the running back pool.
They do. I think one of the issues is that we have issues with some of the cheaper running backs that like presumably we'd go to. I think there's one that maybe two that really stick out that I think a lot of people might go to, particularly at least cash game wise, to continue to play three running backs. I mean, for GPPs, like if you're going to get the two highest scoring running backs and you can, you know, wide receiver is where it's much easier to get explosive scores from cheaper prices. And so it certainly makes sense from a lineup build to get all of those points. The biggest thing that makes me hesitate on Kamara, and we'll talk about quarterbacks later, but like you can't talk about the Saints without talking about their quarterback situation, partially because of how much Drew Brees loves to throw to Kamara anyway. I mean, yep. Michael Thomas is back, although he was still banged up. I think he practiced this week.
Yeah, I think he's probably good to go.
So as we were talking before we started recording, there was talk that Taysom Hill was going to start. Adam Schefter just tweeted that Taysom Hill will start, which...
It's wild.
So how much does Hill starting affect Kamara? Because it seems like Winston starting would affect him in the passing game just because, like, he's so different than Breeze in terms of, like, wanting to throw downfield... willing to take chances, whereas like Kamara is this definition of a security blanket. And so if you had Winston, were you still going to play Kamara? And now that it's Hill, or that we think it is, do you still play Kamara? Like, what do you do?
I mean, I would say it's more than thinking it is. I'm reading that Schefter tweet right now. I mean, it says Will Start.
And Will
Schefter
Start.
Schefter is as tied in as anybody. So I think we can go ahead with Will Start.
Took all the starter reps in practice this week. Like,
I think it's insane. I don't know. Sean Payton and Taysom Hill is the weirdest thing in the NFL, maybe. Like, I just don't get it. I'm actually bummed because I was really looking forward to fading Jameis because I think he was going to be popular. And a quarterback, you never get super popular, but I did not like him as a play at all this week. Even the 5,900 price, there's quarterbacks that I like below and above him that I liked more. So I'm a little bummed about that. I really wanted him because I thought he was going to start, and then I thought Hill was going to come in so much and mess so much stuff up, especially in the red zone, that I thought Jameis wasn't going to work very well. But I wonder with Hill, like, they're going to have a lot of these gadget plays and stuff, and that can't be good for Kamara, right? Like, they're going to have stuff where, you know, Hill runs or they do some weird throws. You know, maybe it opens up running lanes for him with a quarterback who's a running threat. We see it with, like, Kyler Murray, and, you know, you run that read option. We see it with Miami. We'll talk about them later, too, with Tua. Like, they run so much run option. I watched Miami last week, and you can just see that defensive end. He's got to make a decision, and you kind of take that one guy out. Like, you just – that defensive end can't make a play on the running back because he's got to make sure that Tua's not running wide. I'm just using Tua as an example because I happened to watch that game last night. But I don't know. It's a weird situation. I think it may be probably better for him running but worse for him catching would be the way I'd look at it. But, like, you look at Kamara, like, last week he was 8 for 15 rushing. And against the Niners team that's banged up, you're like, oh, he must have had a horrible game. He had 7 catches for 83 yards and 3 touchdowns. Yeah. So he was awesome. Like, it's just, I mean, the targets on Kamara, 8, 13, 6, and 8 last 4 weeks from a running back. I mean, that's like almost McCaffrey level kind of stuff. And the Falcons are good against the run. They're 3.6 yards per carry. So they play the run well. But I thought that, you know, as long as Kamara was getting dump downs from Jameis the whole game, and Jameis likes to push it more, but I think that Peyton would have made it so there were plays that Kamara caught the ball. But it's weird. I think it makes me like Cook even more against Kamara with just the, you know, the not knowing what Taysom Hill is going to do. And, you know, Atlanta's has not allowed a 100-yard rusher all year. So if we're looking at rushing stats, I don't love that. But I'll probably have to read up more on it. But my initial take, we're kind of getting this live, is that it makes me like Cook even more over Kamara than I did before.
Yeah. Adam Levitan tweeted that Taysom Hill has played 83 snaps at quarterback over the last 2 seasons and has thrown 11 passes.
This is crazy. I mean, it's not as crazy as Sean Payton saying that Taysom Hill reminded him of Steve Young, which was not only crazy, but personally insulting. Like, you just compared your gadget play running back to, like, one of the best quarterbacks in the history. I think he still has, like, the quarterback rating and percent. He might not anymore. Mm-hmm. Because every quarterback's awesome now, but, like, elite inner circle Hall of Fame quarterback, and the fact you even put him in the same breath is insulting to me. It pissed me off. But the whole thing is weird. I mean, it makes this game interesting and watchable. But I don't know. Do you think it's like he's going to start and run 3 plays and then bring in Jameis for the rest of the game? Like, is that possible too? It seems like if he's taking reps at practice that they're going with him, right?
It just seems so sloppy of an idea. College teams do this sometimes, but
it never works.
It never works.
Florida had a year a couple years ago. They were awesome, and they had rotating quarterbacks, and it just messed up the entire – like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Wasn't
– you can't have a guy get one series and be like, all right, you're out now. You're just like, it doesn't work.
Wasn't it Cam's freshman year at Florida? Didn't he go to Florida?
He did until he stole a computer, and then he transferred to Auburn.
Tebow couldn't have been there, but
– No, it was. I think you're right. I think it was Tebow and Chris Leak is probably who you're thinking
Leak, maybe. Whoever it was. Like, it doesn't work. And so to expect it to now work in the NFL, I mean, this just seems wild to me. I just don't think, certainly in cash, you can pay $9,200 for Kamara with that much uncertainty. If you think that, like, the way they get around all of this is let's just get Kamara the ball as much as possible, like, I guess you can try to convince yourself that, but it just seems so stupidly risky in cash and perfectly risky in GPP. We'll get to Taysom Hill, I guess, if we talk about it in the quarterback or the tight end section, but, like, everybody should play him on FanDuel where he's a tight end because.
So it's funny you said that. I was just looking. I knew he was a quarterback on DraftKings, but I thought he was a tight end on FanDuel. Like, so he becomes like 180% owned at tight end, I guess. But, like, I don't know. It's.
This is amazing.
Why is he a tight end on FanDuel? Like, that makes sense.
Another Schefter tweet. I apologize for everybody listening. This is like coming in as we're taping. Jameis Winston will not be part of any offensive packages Sunday versus the Falcons.
Why the hell did they sign Jameis Winston? If he's not going to start over Taysom Hill, why is he even? It makes no sense. It's just
my favorite thing is that Taysom Hill is 30. Like, he's not like fresh out of college and they're like, let's see what we got here. Like, the guy is 30 years old. Anyway.
He's the same age as Madison Bumgarner. Like, how does this even work? Like, come on. Taysom Hill's a $4,500 tight end on DraftKings. Or on FanDuel, sorry. It's,
How much is he on FanDuel?
$4,500 tight end on...
A position he's never played, keep in mind. Like, whether you want to say that he is a... Like, what his position is, like, tight end is not one I was ever expecting.
It's funny, I look because I just typed in Hill on FanDuel and I got Josh Hill. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's Josh Hill at the tight end there, but it's actually both of them are listed.
Both of them, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's keep going with running backs. I don't want it to turn this into the RotoWire New Orleans Saints podcast, but it's pretty.
The total is staying at 51.5 right now.
I think I said a total drop to 41 in the last 5 minutes.
I was looking for that.
All right, so let's jump into running back guy a little further. I think that we hit the top two guys, but so I'm gonna make this a big tier here. I'm gonna make it's too big salary wise, but I think they all kind of fit in from like 6,500 to 8,000. You know, you go from maybe Zeke or Zeke up to like Derrick Henry. What are you doing with this mid tier? Because I'm having a lot of troubles with this tier. I think there's a lot of guys I like. I mean, you got Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones who are really good, obviously, but, you know, and tougher matchups. And Jones did not look great last week. And you've got some guys in good matchups, maybe are lesser plays. Then you've got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who both had 100 yards last week. But, you know, they're splitting carries. And it's really hard to rely on guys getting 100 yards because it doesn't work and doesn't happen. But what are you doing with this tier? Are there guys you like? Are you guys that you're really, really attacking? There's one guy that I have highlighted and bolded in this tier, and that's the only one right now. But I want to hear what you got to think about this tier in the middle.
I think the bummer is that we would have ignored this tier completely had DeAndre Swift not suffered a concussion.
That is the key in here is that he's 6,400. He definitely would have been my favorite play. He looked great last week, but apparently Thursday went to the concussion protocol, which I don't know how that, I don't know if something happened in practice or they just figured it out from him running guys over on Sunday that maybe something happened there, but it is a bummer because I obviously, if you get the news on Sunday morning, maybe that changes, but like as of right now, there's no way you can use him. I mean, it's just, going in the protocol that late just freaks me out.
Really the problem is that it's so late in the week. I mostly found myself avoiding the entire range, at least for like cash considerations. Like I like the idea of Miles Sanders, Chubb and Hunt. Like I basically
Sanders is the one that I have bolded.
So yeah. Chubb and Hunt, like you said, like they're splitting so much that like last week was like the perfect like ceiling outcome for two running backs splitting carries and like expecting that to happen again.
The perfect ceiling outcome would have been actually running into the end zone.
Fair. That's fair. Obviously Connor, we touched on a little bit. You have to consider that he's not getting like every touch, but he is getting most of them. Are we done with Mike Davis?
I am.
Why?
I mean, I guess he could work this. I mean, it's funny because he's been bad the last like four games without McCaffrey, but like really tough matchups. He's faced tough matchups and it hasn't worked. I don't know what we're expecting for this offense this week. It sounds like Teddy Bridgewater is not going to play. So I don't know if we get those patented dump offs that we love going to Mike Davis. If PJ Walker plays, I think you get a little more down the field. But yeah, you got to think that he's involved. He's just, the thing is now he's fully priced. Like last week he was 4,000, which is clearly a mistake because this week he's 6,800 after doing nothing last week. So obviously it's not a performance base. They just messed up with Davis last week. You know, we didn't know McCaffrey wasn't going to play when the pricing came out. But the interesting thing with Chubb and Hunt is you look at the matchup against the Eagles, and I will admit that I did not know this until I looked it up. There is one running back all year that's been over 65 yards on the Eagles. Like, wow. That's crazy. Usually I'm like, oh, you know, there's only one running back over 100 yards. There's only one running back over 120 yards. There is one running back, is Darrell Henderson in week two. He went at 81 yards. There's not another running back over 65 yards against this defense. And they have, granted, they're in the NFC East, so like they get to play Wayne Gallman like seven times
a year. I actually thought Gallman was going to be the answer.
No, the answer, it's Darrell Henderson. But Zeke had 63. But like you look, and then you're like, oh, well, what did they do against the Ravens? Edwards had 26. Dobbins had 28. Ingram had 20. So like that's a team that like they have an impressive running game. Maybe we can't play it for fantasy, but usually someone does well there, or maybe as a group they do well. But they've been really good against the run. I kind of pulled off Chubb or Hunt. You know, I didn't want to really figure them out anyway. I probably would lean towards Chubb just because I think Chubb's really good. But Miles Sanders in that same game though looked really good last week. He played 49 snaps. He was 15 for 85, but fantasy-wise, Boston Scott had a touchdown from outside the red zone. And then Corey Clement came in just because Sanders got down to the two and we needed to come out. And Clement scored. And I think I think the other running backs had like four carries or something and had two touchdowns. So I think it was a freaky week. Cleveland played well against Duke Johnson last week, but I don't really think Duke Johnson's very good, to go back to your David Montgomery theory in there. But Jacobs had 120 yards a week before. Granted, it was on 31 carries in the wind. Sanders has played six games. He has 95 plus total yards in five of those games. So he's quietly been really good. Just the touchdowns haven't really been there, but he's my favorite play in this range of 6,900 on DraftKings, 7,700 on FanDuel. But like you, I found myself kind of poking holes in almost everybody else in this range.
Is the reason Sanders ahead of Connor because of the holes that we poke in Connor?
It is, and I just don't. The thing with Connor is, like last week, you're like, his snaps aren't there. The snaps were there this week. He played 64 snaps last week. He was 13 for 36 and 2 for 12 receiving. Like, it's just not. It's weird because Pittsburgh is so dynamic passing the ball, and they have three receivers who are, I think we can say, are all really, really playing well right now and really good. They have Eric Ebron for in the red zone. Connor doesn't look like he has that that burst right now, and it could come at any point, and he's obviously a really talented guy. But, Jacksonville was thrashed early in the run game, and they've been pretty good lately. They held Aaron Jones 13-46 last week, and I think the way to beat Jacksonville is through the air. And who knows how much Pittsburgh has to do it, but I think early on, I think Pittsburgh just picks apart Jacksonville throwing the ball. Maybe they close with Connor, but I don't know. I just he's 37 for 105 the last 3 weeks, and that's a little concerning to me. In a team that like spreads out so well, there should be holes. He's just not running the ball well right now. So I think Sanders, both from a who they're facing and also just talent wise, I think I'm going Sanders over Connor.
And what price does Zeke have to be to play him?
It's a really good question because I wrote him down at 6,500. He's 8,000 on FanDuel, so like no way there. If Zeke was 5,800, I think I'd seriously start thinking about him.
Okay.
Talk about a game script game you don't like. Like at Minnesota, they should be trailing in that game. Cook should run the ball and burn clock, and Andy Dalton should be back. But, you're not getting the Zeke dump-off stuff you got with Dak. So, I think cheaper than now is what I'm saying.
Okay. That's fair.
What about below this range? We've got some interesting names under 6,000. There's three guys that I'm considering down here. What are you doing with cheap running backs this week? Is there anybody that really jumps out to you as an obvious play?
Kalen Ballage.
Yeah. Never thought you'd say that out loud, right?
Did he actually end up playing for the Jets this year?
He got traded to the team like six times and then failed physicals. And then did he actually get carries?
Yeah, he might. Okay, so we've got a Kalen Ballage revenge game. No, but I mean, they are indicating that he's supposed to get most of the touches this week, which feels kind of outrageous. But they're 9.5-point favorites and he's 5,600. So that's why you play him.
Weirdly, he played a lot last week, and Anthony Lynn was like, we need to play Kalen Ballage more. And I'm like, he pretty much played the whole game. Joshua Kell had 17 snaps, and Ballage had 46. So I don't know how much we're going to play him, but the game script against your Jets is just there. It's like you mentioned the price.
33 carries and nine targets over the last two games. Like, and
he hasn't really done anything with them, but an offense where you like the offense and he gets the goal line carries. I don't know. It's just it's hard to get away from him. But there's a couple other names down here. I think an interesting guy is Damian Harris. I know New England running backs probably make your skin crawl a little bit, but 5,800 on DraftKings, and he's he only played 32 snaps, but 22 for 121, and they're playing Houston, which is the running back matchup we try and find every week. I mean, we mentioned Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They both had 100 yards last week against Houston. James Robinson had 99 yards the week before. Derrick Henry had 212 on them. My concern with Harris is snaps. Like, he played 32 snaps last week, but every time he's in, they hand him the ball, and he kind of looks like he might be pretty good. Like, he's really running the ball well. He's played six games. He's 100 yards in three of them. We talk about guys who – there aren't that many 100-yard rushers every week anymore, and he had 50% of the time so far. No receiving points. I think that's fair. And the other knock on Harris would be the fact that the Patriots have 16 carries inside the five. Cam Newton has 12 of those.
12, yeah.
So red zone and PPR, you're not getting that. But I don't know. If they hand the ball to him 20 times in the game against Houston, I really like my chances of Damian Harris at 5,800.
Yeah. Jerry Donabedian two weeks ago, in his running back hidden stat line article was saying how Harris – Harris's like carries per snap is so high that like you almost don't even consider how many snaps he's playing, because it's just so much higher than everybody else in terms of how many times he actually touches the ball. So he's one of those weird ones that like, if you look at, if you're only looking at snaps and you're like, he's just not playing enough. And it's like, he's actually gets the ball almost like every time he's on the field. But you're right. Like it's tough when you're like, I'm going to get the running back who gets all of the touches except when they're near the end zone, right, or any time in the passing game.
Do I really want to shake my fist at the sky every time Rex Burkhead comes in and scores? Right. Like it's frustrating, but I like it. I like it this week. I like him as much as Ballage. It's a tough one for me between the two. I kind of like both of them in their situations. I think Harris is a much better player. I'd probably lean towards Harris because the better player. And I think I usually go with that, but Ballage is in a better spot for sure.
I was actually not expecting you to say Harris. I was excited to hear which one of Antonio Gibson or JD McKissick or Gio Bernard.
The Gibson thing is crazy, right? Because he wasn't even good last week, but he scored twice. So everybody's like, oh, he's a great play.
And
like,
great play, yeah.
He was 13 of 45. He was 4-20 catching. JD McKissick had 15 targets.
He had 10 at halftime.
Yeah, there was a point in the first half where someone was like, JD McKissick has 9 targets. I'm like, do you mean in the last three games? Like, and I looked up and Alex Smith literally was dumping it to him every single play. And I don't get it. It's just not they're treating JD McKissick like he's some sort of Darren Sproles. Like, right. The whole thing is strange. I guess with Gibson, probably a pretty good game script this week. They're a close game, and they're actually favorites. They're like a point and a half favorite over Cincy. I just, the usage is just not there for me. Total. I'd go Ballage and Harris over Gibson this week, which sounds crazy from like a talent dynamic perspective, but I just like the usage more than the other two guys.
That's fair. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to think otherwise. It's just, it's not a Harris situation where like Gibson gets the ball every time he's on the field.
Right.
And so, and no thought of Bernard on the other side.
You got Bernard and Duke Johnson right there in the same range and with starting jobs. I don't know. I think I'm off both of them. Gio's a little more interesting this week because last week they were just trailing against Pittsburgh and he just kind of game scripted out. And they don't really, he had 7 targets, but 4 for 17. Like, he's just not doing anything with them. The Washington defense is pretty good, but if you're going to get him, it's against the run. Neither of those guys really excite me. I can see them both as plays, strictly volume guys, but I'm probably not doing it. I like the other three guys we mentioned in this range more than I go Gibson over them, and I don't love Gibson.
So if you like exciting, how much do you like $4,000 Adrian Peterson?
God, that's gross. Like, it's just, if Swift doesn't play and I've got to do that, I don't think I could do it, to be honest. But I think the reason why is there's someone at 4,800 who I think is interesting, and that's Savon Ahmed with Miami going against Denver. Looked good last week. He was 21 for 85 against the Chargers. Jordan Howard's been released, thankfully, but apparently picked up by the Eagles, which makes zero sense. Miles Gaskin's still out. Two University of Washington guys with Ahmed and Gaskin. You look at Denver, the defense. If you add up what Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker, of all people, did last week, 35 for 193 and 4 rushing touchdowns. Like, holy hell, was Denver bad on defense last week. And a good game script, Miami's favorite. I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the quarterbacks with Taysom that I went back and watched his game because I was curious on Ahmed how he looked. And, like, they run so much stuff with Tua with the run option that you just see, like, you see lanes open up, and he was running through big holes last week. I think I'd play Ahmed over AP every single day.
That's absolutely fair. And there's not.
Are you considering Peterson at 4,000?
No. Okay. I was hoping you would bring up Ahmed because Ahmed's close enough to Peterson where it's like, I think, and it's not like Peterson is like getting is playing three downs anyway.
I like how Ahmed looked last week. I think he might have a little something.
Yeah. How confident would you be going into, I know you don't play much cash, but if you build a cash lineup and you look down and you had Kalen Ballage and Ahmed in your lineup, you think you'd win that week?
That's how you drew it up week one, right?
Right.
Like,
I
remember we were talking week one. You're like, you know what? I can't wait till we get to week 11. I just want to unleash Kalen Ballage as much as I can.
Against the Jets, no less.
So, interesting running back week, because I think we've got the two studs at the top, and then we've got like 4 or 5 guys down here that either both of us like, or one of us like, or you can make cases for, and then the middle ground is kind of dead. It's going to be interesting to see ownership percentage. I think the top two will have a lot, And then I think these guys at the bottom will kind of be spread. There's enough of them where I think they get spread out a little bit. Whereas last week, you know, it was Mike Davis. And I think that this week we've got so many guys in here, I think we're going to get spread out, which is fun.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's definitely going to – I think Cook will definitely be the highest.
I do too, yeah.
Probably Cook and Kamara. It's that third one that'll be interesting to see how many people are willing to play the Connor play because like fundamentally it makes sense.
I don't think anybody. I think Connor will be low.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of knock all of them. Like, we didn't even talk about Aaron Jones against a really tough defense, but...
Yeah, and he's only 7,200. The Colts have 3.4 yards per carry. Derrick Henry's the only running back over 75 yards against the Colts. They played, and they played some good ones, too, like I mentioned. I think it was the Eagles that played Wayne Gallman a bunch, but they've played Joe Mixon, they played Dalvin Cook, they played James Robinson. Like, the Colts have played some pretty good running backs. The thing with Aaron Jones is like it's back to the touchdowns. Like he's got to score to really work. Because Jamal Williams gets some work in there, and you know Rodgers is so on fire throwing the ball right now. If Davante Adams, we get to running receivers. If Davante Adams does not play, he didn't practice yesterday. I think he's going to play. But if he doesn't play, does that make you think like maybe I need to get Jones in there because he's going to see a lot more touches in the passing game, and maybe they kind of change the game script a little bit?
Probably not enough for me.
Okay. That's fair.
That Colts defense. So, was it last Thursday that they played the Titans?
Yeah.
That game, like I remember, the Titans kept going back and forth between 1-point favorites and 1-point underdogs, and I thought to myself, like the Colts aren't that good. Like I don't get, and I think I was just focusing way too much on Phillip Rivers and T.Y. Hilton and that part of the team, and I realized like apparently defenses don't matter, but like. They look pretty good, and so like buying into that, going up against that when I, you know, we're not like jumping to play other guys, but there are other guys to play, so like I'm not sure we really need to go that far.
It's funny because I clicked on running backs. I'm like, oh, Aaron Jones is cheaper than I thought he'd be, and then as I broke it down, I'm like, I don't like him as much as I thought I would. So it's always interesting.
Derrick Henry against Baltimore, like we didn't say his name and.
Yeah, I mean, volume is always there. I just, New England ran the ball pretty well on Baltimore. So we mentioned Damian Harris, but overall, they've been really good against running backs. And I just, with Derrick Henry, it's so volume. I want games where they're ahead, and I don't think they're ahead in this game. So I'm probably not going to pay the price this week.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Let's jump into the passing game. But first, a note from our sponsor, PropSwap. Smart sports bettors always know where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap. You can always find the best odds on PropSwap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. You see a ticket you like, but you think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. PropSwap sellers are always willing to negotiate, and we all know bookies never will. And for a limited time, our listeners can get up to $500 in bonus cash. Just use the promo code ROTO500. That's promo code ROTO500. And PropSwap will match your first deposit up to $500. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. So quarterbacks, really interesting this week. We've got no one over 7,500. We mentioned Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray played last night. Patrick Mahomes is playing Sunday night. So you kind of take the top three guys immediately off the board like that. It becomes really interesting. I'm going to let you go first here. Among these, let's go 6,600 above, not to spoil the quarterback I like most. Anybody in this top tier that you're really fired up about using? Because I think I have one that's going to probably upset you.
I don't think I want to talk about Hill again. Sorry.
No, that's fine. He's 40. How much is he on?
4,800 on DraftKings.
Okay. Listed at quarterback. Okay.
That game has the highest total of the week. They're favored by 4 as of now. Let me refresh here. Oh, down to 50.5. It's crashing.
I'm telling you, 41 by the time we get up.
Yeah. 4,800 for a quarterback against the Falcons. This really, really tests you. If you've ever said something like, I would play anyone against the Falcons under 5,000.
That's fair. So if I had to give you a number, how many rushing yards do you think Taysom Hill has at the end of the game? What would be your, like, if you're a Vegas bookie, what's your over-under on that number?
29.5.
See, I think that's so low.
But,
I mean, so you think they literally use him as a regular quarterback then?
I also just don't think he's that good. So like, it's almost like
last week he had 8 carries for 45 yards. The week before he had 754. I think that just like, just by the way they run and they, the other weapons, like, I think he's got to get a couple of big chunk plays. Like, I think he runs for, I'd set that over under at like 45 and a half. And then you're like, oh, well, that builds in a floor that is like a, there's 5-6 point floor. Like, God, I just think he sucks, and I don't think he can pass the ball. But
I was gonna say, what's the passing prop?
Yeah, I 127 and a half. I don't know. Like, that can't, it can't be that low. Like 160. I don't know. I don't think we can answer that question, because I don't think we know, and anybody that pretends to know is wrong.
Yeah,
because they don't know. I don't think we know if he can pass the ball well enough to play NFL quarterback in the NFL. I don't think we know the answer to that question. Or can he run a offense for four quarters rather than coming in for trick plays and misdirection, where obviously those rushing yards are boosted up because he's always in a situation where Breeze is out there too, maybe, or like there's just a lot of, you're not getting those trick plays. You need defenses that, and now, I mean, Atlanta's apparently scheming for him. I don't know if the Atlanta defense schemes for anybody, to be honest with you, but 4,800 is really cheap. I mean, he certainly becomes, you got to consider him if nothing else.
I mean, theoretically, like a short pass to Kamara can go long. So absolutely. Like,
yeah. I mean, a short pass to Deontay Harris can go long too. I'm curious to see how they scheme stuff. If they're going to run a lot of run option, they're going to run some wishbone. I don't know what that is. This might be Tommy Frazier at Nebraska. I don't know.
Yeah. Right yet.
I mean, how many passes does he attempt? I guess is a question. Does he attempt like 20 passes? Does he attempt 25 passes? Like, I don't even know. We don't even know what kind of offense they're going to run with him at quarterback, which is the toughest part of all this.
So the Falcons, is this possibly right that they have allowed the second fewest rushing yards to running backs this season? I guess because everybody just throws all over them.
Yeah, they're allowing 3.6 yards per carry. And they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher, so I would think that that's probably true. We're talking about Kamara earlier, but yeah, I think that everybody just thrashes them in the pass game so significantly. I mean, they've given up more than 300 yards passing to the five of the last six quarterbacks they've played. So I think that teams just throw the ball because it's so easy.
So Trubisky had 42 rushing yards against them back in week 3. I assume he was still starting because 42 seems like a lot for Nick Foles. Teddy Bridgewater had 30 in week 8, and Drew Locke had 47 last week.
Yeah. To be fair, Trubisky, that was one run for 45 yards.
I mean, they all count.
Yeah, they do, but he wasn't scrambling frequently. He just had one big play. But yeah, the Drew Lock last week is interesting. 7 for 47 is pretty significant. I can't sit here and pretend to know what their offense is going to look like, which makes it really hard. Like, I'd love to be like, I think they're going to run this and this, but I don't know the answer to that question because they're such a certain way with Drew Brees, and it's like, all right, quick plays, get the ball out fast, throw the ball, slants and all that kind of stuff to Thomas every once in a while. Maybe you take a little bit shot down the field to Jared Cook, a lot of dump offs to Kamara. Like, you know what their offense looks like. There's no way to know what it looks like with this guy. It could be they could do it like Lamar Jackson, where he's getting, 15 carries, but if he gets 6 carries and throws the ball 22 times, like, I want no part of that no matter what the price is. But if he carries it 15 times, like, he suddenly becomes like the most automatic play at 4,800 ever. So it's hard to know. And I imagine a lot of people take shots at him at 4,800 though.
What's the floor? Like, let me rephrase that. What's his worst outcome?
His worst outcome is he's 3 for 9 passing in the first half and they put Jameis in.
I don't think there's any way they play Jameis. So
from those tweets, it certainly seems like you're right.
Right. So like what's the four-quarter basement?
The four-quarter floor is he looks like crap passing the ball and throws for like 96 yards and runs a ton, but it's not effective. He runs for, 14 times for 42 yards. So that's like 9 points, which are something like that, which you can't play. But, I mean, that's a dead floor. And it depends, like, if they get up in this game, like if Kamara goes crazy and they – Maybe they just run the ball the whole second half. Like, there's just no way to know. But maybe they run it and they hit a couple deep plays with him too. Like, there's certainly conceivable they run some trick plays and hit something deep. Or
you have to think that a dead floor play for Hill kills Kamara and Michael Thomas also. Certainly Thomas.
I guess you get a game where Kamara hits for just run the ball a ton, but the interesting part is, like, does this bring – is Latavius Murray interesting? Like, if Kamara's a little banged up, like, we didn't even talk about him at running backs. Like, if they're going to run something weird and use Kamara in the backfield and let Murray run the ball a bunch of times, like, does he become – he's – oh, they priced him way up.
Wow. Yeah, he's way up.
He's 5,900 on DraftKings. I guess, did they know – I guess Kamara had the ankle at the end of the game last week, so that makes sense. He was 4,000 last week, and I was like, oh, if you get him, down there, he's interesting. At 5,900, I probably don't do it.
I mean, just to, like, accentuate how bad the Mike Davis mistake was last week, like, Alexander Mattison is 6,200 this week.
But anyway. 4,000 is just a misprice. But let's go to the top.
Sorry, yes. We were supposed to talk about real quarterbacks here.
No, but I mean, you have to. It's 4,800 for a guy who's quarterbacking one of the teams, the top implied totals on the whole board, and he's 4,800. Like, it has to come into play. But at the top, do you consider Lamar Jackson this week?
No.
So he's facing Tennessee. I mean, the only thing I want to tell you about Lamar Jackson is I think that they are finally going back to a little bit of last year. He had double-digit carries once in the first seven games. Last 3 weeks, he has 16, 13, 11. I think that they're opening it up with him a little bit. He hasn't topped 250 passing yards since week one, which is not great. But over 55 rushing yards in all of the last 4 weeks. I think that he's in my pool this week, especially in GPP. I think the big game's coming, and you always hate to play on that. But I think that the fact that they're running him more and kind of opening it up again like they did last year, I think actually is a material thing. With the difference in carries the last month versus the first 2 months is pretty sizable.
No, that's definitely fair. I think you can find problems with, like, every quarterback this week, except Taysom Hill, obviously. So, yeah, like, the other guys at the top, like Rodgers, we were just talking about that Colts defense. Like, obviously, they're – like, if Devonta Adams doesn't play, that obviously hurts Rodgers. But, like
– yeah, I wouldn't even consider him if Adams doesn't play.
Yeah. Justin Herbert is, I think, a fine play matchup-wise against the Jets, who just lost their best corner. But you have to think, like, if they get up early, the Jets are, like, allergic to scoring. So, like, if that game gets out of hand, right. Herbert's not gonna have to throw that much. I mean, only 32 times last week, I guess. He did have that rushing touchdown, which helped.
I knew Herbert's been good. You know, he has three plus touchdowns in all of the last six games.
That's crazy.
Pretty wild. And last week one was rushing, and he got the goal line look there. He got the sneak, but. I love Herbert. The point you make about the Jets is true. Like, if they're up 24-6 at halftime, like, you know, they just hand the ball off and they can spread it between their running backs and you just wonder there. But I think Herbert is a very live play, 6,800 with a ton of upside. Sure. But there is that issue with the game script is definitely probably the worst on the slate.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Roethlisberger, I think is of like a perfectly good play. He has obviously all of his three receivers healthy right now. We were talking about how much Connor's been struggling. Matchup against Jacksonville is certainly one you can take advantage of. I just can't remember the last time I was like, yeah, I'm playing Big Ben and I feel good about this. But, like, he's been really good.
Last week I was worried because he had the knee the week before where he's, like, limping around. And then, like, in the middle of the first quarter last week, he was, like, shaking out his arm. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go. And then you look up and what was it? It was 330 yards, four touchdowns. And it's funny. We talked about, you know, which Pittsburgh receiver to use last week. And the answer was all three.
All
was
of them, the yeah.
Play. Why is Deshaun Watson still 6,500? I love him this week at 6,500. I think he's just so cheap. And I know that New England can play defense, but, I mean, they gave up 250 yards and two touchdowns passing to Lamar last week. They gave up to 262 and 3 to Joe Flacco the week before that. Like, it's not like they're infallible against the pass, and they're giving up 7.8 yards per attempt. They just, you know, faced a lot of great quarterbacks. And last week, I think he got winded out a little bit in Cleveland. He was 20 for 30. He threw the ball 30 times for 161, and you could tell they weren't pushing the ball downfield in that weather. But back indoors this week, prior to last week, he had 280 yards in five straight games. I think he's too cheap at 6,500. It's weird. It kind of takes the guys that I liked a little bit cheaper. It kind of takes them out because I'm like, why don't I just go up 300 to Deshaun Watson?
No, I think that's a perfectly reasonable argument. It does seem like a bit of a, I don't want to call it a misprice, but it is weird to see like Bridgewater right after him and,
right.
You know,
like,
Newton's
yeah,
pretty close.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. I like Watson. I think literally any quarterback you think about, you say, all right, if I play this guy, where am I finding the $1,500 in savings to play someone else instead of Taysom Hill? Which I can't believe we're talking about this.
Yeah, it's wild. But If you go a little bit lower, I mean, obviously I had Jameis Bolden to talk about, but that goes out the window now because he's not playing and he's not even involved in the offense, apparently. Under 6,000, do you Taysom Hill probably messes this up too, because you're under 6,000, you're like, well, I could just drop down under 5,000 to get someone who's going to run the ball a bunch. But I sneakily sort of think Phillip Rivers is a decent play this week at 5,600. I like the game script. It's a close game against Green Bay with a lot of – it's indoors, high total. We're going to talk about Colts receivers here in a little bit, because I think one is really emerging as a really good play this week. Green Bay doesn't pressure very well so far this year. I think that's the key with Rivers, is if you get him some time, he'll be all right. Last 4 weeks, he has three games over 250 yards, two games with three touchdowns. We mentioned receivers coming on a little bit. I don't love Phillip Rivers as a ceiling guy, but I think the floor is pretty good. 5,600. I think he's usable this week if you wanted to get cheap and maybe pivot off Hill at the cheap level.
Yeah, I mean, it's 44, 33, 43, and 39 pass attempts in the last 3 weeks or four.
Yeah,
weeks,
that's pretty big. And he's got Nyheim Hines out of the backfield that, you know, makes plays when he catches the ball, which works. I mean, that always is helpful. What do you do with Joe Burrow this week? 5,500 on DraftKings at Washington. They do pressure the quarterback well as opposed to Green Bay. The crazy thing with Burrow is, like, you watch plays and you're like, oh, that looked good, that didn't look good. Like, you're not totally sure, but 46 dropbacks on average per game, which is an absurd number. The volume is just wild. I think I would need T. Higgins to play. He missed practice with an illness. We don't know if that's COVID related or not yet. What do you do? Do you consider Burrow at all at 5,500?
I didn't really. I was kind of intrigued with Tua, just the idea of Tua, but like, not that it felt like a, like I probably would have played Winston over Tua had Winston, yeah, apparently been a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I think the Tua thing seems more fun than the stat line.
Yes.
Like, I watched the game, and I mentioned I watched the game the other night, and he like looked dynamic and fun. Then I looked up, he had 169 yards passing and minus 1 yard rushing. So like, they were running a lot of run option, but he wasn't really doing much with it. So I just, there's too many other guys who I think have just more of a ceiling right now than Tua does, the way Miami runs offense.
No, I totally agree. I think if you're really going nuts, but you want, like, if there are a bunch of people who are going to play Taysom Hill and you want to differentiate,
which I think there are.
Yeah. And you build a Taysom Hill lineup that has a little money left over. This is for tournaments. Please don't do this in a cash game. Or if you do, please post your head to heads. Would you be willing to just adjust slightly for Andy Dalton in a game that maybe he throws 40 times because they're losing?
I don't think it's a terrible thought by any means. And I kind of figured that was the name you're going to go with, just because the way you were talking about the pricing, he's 5,300. He's got weapons. He's got three really, really good talented receivers. Yeah. I mean, I think if you want to go in a tournament and, like you said, a game, they're going to have to throw a bunch. I mean, that the one game he played the whole game against Arizona, he threw 54 times. Like, I know that's Arizona. They had 86 snaps in that game, which is just crazy. But yeah, he had 286 yards in that game. I don't think it's a terrible tournament play. I'd probably go to Rivers or Burrow instead myself, just for a little bit smaller price bump. Just, I like those guys maybe a little bit more. But yeah, with the weapons they have in the game script, you can certainly see that game flowing the way you want it to. And you could go, like, you go Dalton and Cooper, and then come back with Cook. And I think you got a lineup that, you know, suddenly could be firing a little bit pretty well.
There you go.
Because Cooper's really cheap this week too. Yeah. I actually like Cooper decently as a standalone for the same type of reasons. Like, they just have to throw the ball so much.
All right. The last guy, he's a 3.5 point home underdog.
Okay.
He's thrown 40, 41, 48, and 47 passes in the last 4 weeks. Any interest?
Sounds like it, but you need to say the name out loud.
No, you don't.
It's not Ryan Tannehill. Is it Ryan Tannehill?
No.
Who is it?
Drew Lock. Apparently is trending towards playing because he's hurt anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, they're splitting. They split reps at practice today. Was it Brett Rippon, I think, from Boise State is the other guy. Drew Lock is weird. Like, he's so bad for three quarters, and then he looks like a really good quarterback in the fourth quarter and racks up stats. I don't fully trust it not being fully healthy, though. I just it's such a fine line with Lock. I mean, he worked really well for us a couple weeks ago in that Atlanta game. So You see Atlanta, you could throw anybody out there, apparently, which is more Taysom Hill. But
I was gonna say, I think the appropriate response was simply, why don't you just play Taysom Hill?
It's gonna be really hard if I play Taysom Hill to root for that dude all week. I mean, I have nothing against him, I just don't like the way they use him normally, but
the Falcons have never let us down.
NFL Twitter is going to be wild during that game. I got to tell you, it's going to be a blast. So, but let's talk about the guys who are going to be catching the passes from all these quarterbacks. So first, a note from our sponsor, BetMGM. Sports bettors know that magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That's why BetMGM has teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free 6-month RotoWire subscription when they place their first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website, and once you make your first sports wager, you'll receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insights. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Have to be 21 years or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text REDLINE at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT-INDIANA. Promotion is not available in Nevada. So wide receiver, the top of the board is a party of one. We've got one guy over 8,000. We've got Devontae Adams. We mentioned earlier, he sat with his – didn't practice on Thursday, sat with that ankle injury. 8,600, we don't need to go through the stats. They're obviously bonkers. Double-digit targets in 5 straight games, 7 touchdowns the last 4 games. They get inside the 5. They seem to, like we talked about last, they seem to build a play for Devontae Adams to score. At Indy, though, you know, it's been a tougher matchup, a good defense. Indoors, though, you like with someone that a receiver like that. Do you play if Adams plays and seems fine in practice today? Do you do it 8,600, or are you just going to move down to lower guys?
I think there are enough other guys you can play. I think 8,600, even with a $4,800 quarterback, I think 8,600 is a little high. I mean, I played him at 9,000, but like, we have some like very good matchups this week with some guys who I think are underpriced. And so, I don't think that the realistic range of outcomes between Devontae Adams and Keenan Allen is worth $1,200. And so, meaning Adam, I don't think Adams is $1,200 better, particularly Gimpy. Although I feel like anytime I consider guys who are like, oh, maybe not 100%, like he still goes 10 for 12, 10 of 12 for 140. Yeah. But I think, yeah, they're just like better matchups out there. Michael Thomas, I had originally considered as one of them, but I no longer do. I mean, honestly, like I thought 7,300 for Michael Thomas was fine. I think Allen is just so far ahead of everyone else. Like particularly the Jets have one good defensive player. I'll say two. One of them is Brian Poole, who guards a slot where Allen would have been. Poole is their best cornerback, like their best, has been since he's been there, and he is out. If the Chargers wanted to, I think Keenan Allen could catch 35 passes in this game.
Like you said, it's a want-to thing. Like if the Jets can score a couple times, like I think that Keenan Allen becomes really interesting. Obviously, if they shut it down the second half, it's not as fun, but 7,100 is still, I missed the days we were playing 6,200 for Keenan Allen, which is only 2 weeks ago somehow. But I think I agree with you. I think that you could drop down 1,000 to Julio, to Keenan Allen. Like I said, I'd probably cross off Michael Thomas now just because I don't know what the hell that offense is going to look like. But I agree with you there. And, I have a lot of cheap receivers I'm going to like. We're going to talk about. So I got a lot of cheap ones for you this week. I know you always love those.
I do.
Dropping down a little bit more kind of in that next tier, like, I'm not playing A.J. Brown at Baltimore. Obviously he can go off against anybody, but at the price, just not the matchup I want in him. Calvin Ridley partially practiced Wednesday. We don't know what's going to happen there. Maybe that affects if you play Julio too, as if what Ridley does. The guy I want to talk to you about is 6,900 on DraftKings. Still under 7,000 is Terry McLaurin, who I think we talk about a lot because he's always in this range. He's always playable, but it's fun because last year he was like, oh, Terry McLaurin is this big boomer bust guy and he can make great plays, but the guy has 7 catches every week. Like he had 7 catches the last 4 weeks. He has 10 targets per game in the last 4 weeks. It's like 11, 12, 9, 8 or whatever it is, but exactly 40 targets the last 4 games. Alex Smith pretty much drops back and throws to him or JD McKissick. Like last week, it was the only guys that he was looking at. He's still under 7,000. Cincy has allowed Cincy allowed 13 plus fantasy points to three different Pittsburgh receivers last week. We talked about how they went off. Corey Davis had 8 for 121 touchdown the week before. Cincy's allowed a 100-yard receiver in four straight games. Like they're just getting shredded passing wise. I think Terry McLaurin 6,900 is just kind of like you just throw him in there and kind of go for it. I mean, it depends on how you build. But if you're building someone up here, I mean, I think he's a guy that should be like 7,300, 7,400 also. I think he's a little bit underpriced.
I think if he, like when I saw 6,900, I'm like, oh man, that seems pretty high for McLaurin. But like if you'd shown me his stats throughout right. the whole season, I'd be like, yeah, he should be 7,300. Yeah, like no problem.
Because you think the first thing you do is like, oh, Alex Smith.
Right.
But then you realize that
they just very strange to only look at two guys and have them be so like it's McKissick and McLaurin. But yeah, I think he makes a ton of sense this week. You're obviously in the same range. Like he's cheaper than Allen. It's kind of the beginning of the Pittsburgh guys. Like I said, I think there are a lot of guys to play this week. McLaurin is absolutely one of them.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it just kind of depends how you build. I mean, in that range, like Kenny Golladay didn't practice again, so I'm probably not messing with that. But he dropped down. I was like, oh, I wonder what Adam Thielen's price is this week. Probably like 7,000. You know, he scores. He's down in yards, but still scores a lot. Adam Thielen is 6,300 on DraftKings. I was surprised by that price. Do you think that's a price where you're in on a guy who hasn't topped 55 yards last four games, but does seem to score every freaking week?
I went to the guy who actually does catch the passes. Like, I think Justin Jefferson at 6,000 is pretty good.
So funny you say that because I bolded Thielen. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to play that 6,300 for sure. I'm like, oh, Justin Jefferson's cheaper. So
yeah, I think the only hesitation I had is how much of the Vikings, like if you're playing Dalvin Cook.
That's the problem, yeah.
I mean, Cook and Jefferson could both have huge games. Like it's not out of the question. Jefferson and Thielen too. I mean, they're not like short route guys. Like they can make big plays. So it's not like you need 15 targets from Jefferson for him and Cook to have good games. But yeah, I think all of like against Dallas, anybody's a good play.
So if you were playing a GPP and you're like, Dalvin Cook's going to be 47%. I want to fade Dalvin Cook. Interesting if you still want a piece of that game. It'd be interesting to go either Thielen or Jefferson, or even both of them. Dallas has allowed 7 touchdowns to wide receivers the last 4 weeks. They've allowed 6 wide receivers over 70 yards in that stretch. So there's a lot of guys doing well. Thielen leads the NFL in end zone targets. Believe it or not, that's kind of not exactly who you'd expect doing that, but I think if you go to GP and you do fade Cook, I think you got to play one of these guys to kind of get that leverage going the other way.
Yeah, Cousins is only 6,200 too, so like it's not like you have to spend so much to get like I think it's perfectly fine to play Jefferson and Thielen with Cousins. I don't think you need to run it back because Dallas isn't any good anyway. But if you wanted to, like,
yeah,
there are guys like we were talking about.
You go Cooper's back with Amari Cooper, yeah.
Yeah, so I think you could definitely attack that game if you wanted to.
The Pittsburgh receivers we talked about. Jacksonville can't stop the pass. They've allowed a 100-yard receiver in 5 straight games, which is a pretty stat that jumps out to you. We got the same three guys again. It was funny because we broke them down last week and we decided that, you know, all of them was the one that worked out. Claypool 6,100, Juju 6,400, my boy Deontay Johnson, still the cheapest 5,900 after another double-digit target week. It'll be boring, but I'm going back to Deontay. I just think that when he plays, he gets 10 targets. But I think all three of these guys are playable. It's really hard to figure out if you're trying to play one of them, which one, but I'd probably go the cheapest one with a bunch of targets. I'd go Deontay myself.
They should all be the same price.
They should. They should all be 6,300. Just go with that.
If anything, Claypool should probably be cheaper. He 23 targets in the last two games, but 69 and 56 yards. That's what's holding him back. Obviously, he has a bunch of touchdowns under him. But the Johnson is just weird. Like, I don't get it. I think he's a great play. 5,900 is a pretty nice price, too.
He's played 6 full games. He has double-digit targets in 5 of those 6. Like, it's not a 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4. Like, this is 6 games and 5 of them with double-digit targets. And in those 5, he had the one bad game. I get it. But he has 75-plus yards in 4 of those 5 games. He has 4 touchdowns in those games. We mentioned the Jaguars just struggling against the pass. I just think that I think Deontay is a really good play this week. And I think all you could, I can make an argument for all three Pittsburgh guys. I mean, Juju's getting a ton of targets. He's kind of turning their possession guy, weirdly enough. He's kind of the guy that catches all the short passes, and then the other guys catch a little bit more downfield. But I would just take the $500 savings, and I'd play Deontay.
Yeah, I agree. I think most people go there. Like, I think Claypool will be the lowest owned of the three.
Yeah.
Because Juju's scoring, Johnson's the cheapest, and that just leaves Claypool. But
yeah, I think that's a good point there. Anybody else in the 6,000? We talked about Justin Jefferson. I like that one a lot. The targets are a little weird. The last 4 weeks, he's gone 11, 4, 4, 10. So it's a little bit strange there.
It's a little Tyler Lockett-y.
It's very Tyler Lockett-y. He had a good game last night. Last 7 weeks since Jefferson started really playing a lot and being involved heavily in the offense, he has four games over 100 yards. I mean, that's a really big upside guy right there. I mean, it's just a guy that he's really good. You look at like the PFF receiver stats. I think he's like second behind Devontae and like just like pure route running stuff. So I think that, you know, Minnesota's obviously found an absolute stud in this pick, and he was like the fourth or fifth running back taken off the board too, in the draft. But I think he's very playable with Thielen. I think both those guys are playable in here. I don't like Will Fuller that much this week, just because I think Brandon Cooks $1,000 cheaper makes more sense. Robbie Anderson, I have no idea what to expect with PJ Walker. I think that at 6,000, as much as there are weeks I've liked Robbie Anderson this year, I think without Bridgewater, I don't think I could do it, because that possession, like a ton of target stuff, is what we liked with Anderson, and I just don't know. I don't know what you're going to get with PJ Walker at 6,000. I don't want to play that much of an unknown.
Yeah, no, I think that's the right thing. My son has picked up that I play on DraftKings, and so like on Sundays it's like, oh, is this guy in your lineup, blah blah. And last week he asked me if Will Fuller V was in the lineup.
That's amazing. Love it.
So I had to explain to my 9-year-old son what what the V meant. But
and you said it's windy there, I'm not playing guys in the wind.
That's right, yeah.
second lesson,
right? Do you play Cooks over Cooper?
That's a really good question. Cooper's 5,400. Cooks is 5,200. I think so, just based on the quarterback play, and then just the consistent targets with Cooks is crazy. I mean, he's 12, 9, 9, 9, 8 the last 5 weeks. He had that 1-0 game, which I think we might have both played. But since then, it's weird. Like, they've shifted, and they've gone to him. He was only 6-39 last week, but I think we can kind of throw that game out. The wind was weird. There's a lot of short passes. But I mean, at 5,200, you just don't get that level of consistent targets. You get guys who are like, oh my gosh, last 2 weeks he had double his targets, we got to play him. But you never get like the 5 weeks in a row of like that.
He's a good quarterback. Like, it's not like it's a bad quarterback situation.
And they're indoors. I mean, I think Cooks on turf is a great thing. New England allowed 2 touchdowns to Willie Snead last week, 2 to Breshad Perriman the week before that. They've given up a 90 plus yards to a receiver 4 times the last 5 weeks. I don't think this New England pass D is good. I think that Watson Cooks is a stack that I will definitely be playing this week.
Do you run it back with Jacoby Myers?
He certainly has put up the stats. I just think there's too many receivers under Jacoby Myers I like. But yeah, if you wanted to stack it a little bit, Myers is the guy that you do it with. I mean, he has, what is that, 31 targets the last 3 weeks, which is clearly Cam's guy right now.
Yeah. I agree with you, though. There are a ton of guys to play. Like, how much does Valdes-Scantling move for you if Adams doesn't play?
It's funny. I had those guys together. Like, Valdes-Scantling and Alan Lazard is probably going to play this week. He's back from the core injury. They're 4,800 and 4,600. Like, I don't love them, but I think you have to at least think about it. If Adams doesn't play, like, I don't know how you don't play one of these guys under 5,000, because Rodgers is going to throw the ball. He's going to throw the ball a bunch. And Valdes-Scantling's been really good the last 2 weeks, hitting on some deep balls. If Lazard is fully cleared, I think I'd go that way a little bit, because I think he fills more of that like target role than Valdes-Scantling would.
Yeah,
but hard off the injury, I get it. He hasn't played since week 3. I get it, it's tough. I think I'd probably go there though, because I think the targets would be there.
Yeah, I just wonder how much Rodgers likes them. Like, it just seems like that.
I think that's a fair statement. I mean, he's gotten pissed at MVS multiple times in the past. The last couple weeks have been good. Like, he's hit a couple deep plays, but. I think you're right. I don't think you're gonna get like the force feeding that you get with Adams. I think if he doesn't play, you probably get a lot of spread around, and maybe a lot of balls on the backfield too. You get maybe Williams and Jones, and maybe your boy Robert Tonyan gets involved finally a little bit.
My boy.
Your boy. But I think you got to consider him under 5,000. But I don't know. I find it hard to get really fired up about him, because there's a lot of guys under 4,800 that I like this week.
Yeah, let's hit me with those guys because.
Can I hit you with one more guy above that first, though?
Sure.
5,900 this week. If the illness is fine, he plays or he practices today. T. Higgins, I just want to talk about. He's been really good. Double-digit fantasy points in 7 straight games. We talked about Burrow with the dropbacks. Like, with those dropbacks, you're going to get guys catching balls. A.J. Green is worthless and miserable and awful. And just he's like, if you look at like his air yards and target stats compared to what he should have put up, it's so bad. But targets for Higgins last week, 4 last 5 weeks, over 8 targets. You know, a guy that's obviously really talented, 4 straight games over 70 yards, 2 of those over 115 yards. Washington's been good against the pass, no 100-yard receivers. But I think that Higgins, if you, you know, obviously you play Burrow, you're gonna play Higgins. But I think at 5,900, I think he's a decent standalone play. There's a lot of guys in this range, but he's just a guy that I think deserves mention just because he's been really good the last, like, month and a half.
Yeah, I think that's a good call for sure.
So let's talk about the cheaper guys. There's 2 guys in the mid fours I like, and then a bunch of guys under 4 that I think are playable this week. The first is just 4,500. Is a guy I really like is Michael Pittman.
Yep.
We talked about Rivers. I kind of teased, you know, running backs or receivers emerging. He's coming on right now. 15 targets last 2 weeks. He's had 8 targets last week. He was 7 for 101. And it's always scary, but like a little bit of eye test here. Like, he looked like a really good receiver. I obviously live in LA. Watched him play a lot at USC the last couple of years, and he just has that look of a guy who's going to be a really good receiver. He's played 59 and 57 snaps the last 2 weeks, which you really like. This is the game that is the second highest total on the board. So if you, it's a piece of this game, you know, New Orleans, Atlanta might drop below that by the time we're done, as we were joking around, but it actually might. He runs a lot of plays from the slot, which kind of helps him avoid Jair Alexander, which is, you know, Green Bay's best defensive back. I love Pittman this week at 4,500. I think this is the last time we'll see Michael Pittman under at this price the rest of the year.
I agree with you. Pittman sticks out for me. Pretty much the Colts always do, because in week one, when I do these like blind stack spreadsheet that I make, they like jumped out because they had like the fourth or fifth highest total, but stack wise, but depending on which players you use, they were pretty cheap. So like, going into this week, they have the sixth highest implied team total, the Colts do, as slight home favorites against Green Bay. But if you look at quarterback, wide receiver 1 and 2, which I hate to have to bring T.Y. Hilton into the conversation, but if we claim that the 1 and 2 are Hilton and Pittman, and you want to stack those guys, they're the 21st most expensive stack, meaning for quarterback 1, wide receiver 1, and wide receiver 2, there is only one combo that is less expensive, which is amazingly the Patriots.
Right.
Actually, I think that probably includes Harry instead of
Myers
law firm, but the new law firm. So like, salary wise, the Colts should be a lot higher. And we look at that, and like, when you see that, you're like, oh, well, obviously, like, the running game must be so important. But like, we're not playing Jonathan Taylor. Hines is part of the passing game.
Never again playing Jonathan Taylor.
don't
play that clip back, because I'm sure there's some point. But yeah, that's a mess right now.
Yeah. So it's just like the Colts passing game against the Packers at home, like, it's not crazy. I think that's going to be a situation where, it could be like next week, and you're just like, why did nobody play the Colts? And it's like, well, because nobody plays the Colts. Like, why would you stack the Colts? But then you look back and you're like, oh, they had the sixth highest implied total in a grouping that's pretty tight. So like, I don't think it's crazy. Like, they're only a half point behind Minnesota that we just talked about how much we liked, and a half point behind Baltimore. So like, it's there.
It is, and it's indoors. It's a game they're going to have to score. Pittman's my favorite play at receiver this week. It was one of those guys that I clicked on. I'm like, I hope he's still under 5,000. I saw he was 4,900. Like, I'll have him in a lot of lineups this week. I love him at the price.
Yeah, I think it's a fun one.
He's so close to Hilton, and I'm going to play Pittman over Hilton. I just think the upside is so significantly more.
Yeah, I think Hilton is dangerously close to that Jonathan Taylor list.
the AJ Green list?
Right.
So a little bit under him, a guy that I think is interesting from a like they came out of the bye and changed how they used him kind of thing is Jalen Reagor with the Eagles. He's 4,300, another rookie, another guy who's super talented. The Eagles had their bye and Reagor had been hurt. They came out of their bye. He played 59 snaps and had 7 targets last week. He didn't do much with them. He was 4 for 47. I just think the player, the talent, I think Philadelphia's trying to figure out what they are as an offense right now. And I think that as they build towards this year, I think they're going to realize that Reagor is their best option. I like Travis Fulgham as a player, but like way more expensive than Reagor this week. So I would never play him this week when Rieger's, I think, 2,500 less or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. I think Rieger's interesting. I think Pittman will probably be not popular, but I think people would go to Pittman. I don't think that I'm like, you know, finding a gem there. I think a lot of people like Pittman too. But if you want to get a little cheaper and maybe a little different, I think the Jalen Reagor at 4,300 is a kind of bet on what's happening for the second half of the season for the Eagles. So it's a player where you're kind of hoping you're going to hit it the first week, which are always dangerous. But I do think Reagor is an interesting play at 4,300.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the hesitation anybody should always have with Philly is that just have so many guys who can catch passes that.
For sure.
The benefit of Reagor is that he could go, you know, 3 for 110 and 2 touchdowns on 5 targets, and you're perfectly fine being able to get away with that because he doesn't need the 12 targets that other guys do.
Right. Yeah, I do like that 4,300. I hate to even bring him up to you, but off the big game, are you playing any Brashad Perriman 4,300?
No.
Me either, because I like someone less, $1,000 less in the same game. So under 4,000, we've talked about KJ Hamler.
I was gonna say, man, 20 targets in the last 2 games.
Double digit targets last 2 games. It's funny. We talked about guys that, like, you know, the targets come and you get them cheap, but he's still 3,800. You know, Miami's defense is tough, but if they get behind this game, like, he's their slot guy that they like throw the short pass to. Judy's getting a lot of action on the outside. Tim Patrick's kind of getting phased out a little bit. He hasn't done a lot with the targets, 6 for 75 and 4 for 50, but like, at under 4,000, if you're going to give me 10 targets, he's played 50 snaps the last 3 weeks. So he's very involved. They're running 3 wide receiver sets constantly. I think I probably want Locke to play just because of the chemistry and getting to him. I don't know if I want to throw Brett Rippon out there with a receiver. But at 3,800, you're going to give me a guy who's a lot of targets, who is fast and talented. I think Hamler is live again at 3,800.
Okay.
You don't seem excited about it.
I think if you're like, I really hope that Drew Locke plays so that this other play will be good.
Fair.
That's my hesitation. But it's a 3,600. Like, there's always, you're not going to find a great play at 3,600.
Right.
Other than Olamide Zaccheaus on certain weeks.
And this week, too, if Ridley doesn't play, Zaccheaus is 3,500. He was 4 for 103 and a touchdown and 6 targets last week. That Ridley played 52 snaps after he played like 20 total the 2 weeks prior. So it's clear that when Ridley plays, Zaccheaus is like phased out fully. But when Ridley doesn't play, Zaccheaus is the guy that does play a lot. 3,500 in a game that we see potentially a lot of points. I don't think he's out of play this week at 3,500.
That's fine. I mean, yeah, it all depends on Ridley.
It does. Go ahead.
I know who this other guy you're going to talk about, though.
Okay.
If you throw out the I think he's a good football player.
Okay.
And you always
dangerous.
And you only look at the stats and the matchup and all of that. Would you really consider Denzel Mims?
Yes.
So why?
Weirdly, Flacco looked like an NFL quarterback last week again, or I guess it's 2 weeks ago. They had a bye week, but like 2 weeks ago in some England, he had 262 and 3 touchdowns. Mims has had 8 targets last week in week 9. He went 4 for 62. I think he's obviously a talented. I think he's the most talented guy in that receiving corps. You know, Crowder's a good NFL player, but Mims is the big play dynamic guy. And just, they should be trailing the whole game. Like, I think the Chargers are going to score. Herbert's going to score. They're going to put points up on the Jets defense. At 3,300, if you give me a guy in Flacco that's willing to take chances, willing to throw the ball, he's clearly, I don't think he cares about throwing interceptions. He's just 3,300. He had 8 targets last game, and I think he's talented. And coming off a bye, I think I like teams coming off a bye kind of in a rookie's year. Like, it's finally time to let him go. I mean, again, you're betting on the come on this one again. You're betting on them using him more. But I don't know, 8 targets last week with Flacco, getting Flacco again off a week of practice. I think at 3,300, I just think it's playable for the price. I think that if you're going to get – if you tell me before the game, you tell me right now he gets 6 targets, I'd play him at 3,300. And I think he will get 6 targets.
I mean, you have to imagine.
Are you just fazed by how bad the Jets are?
You have to, you have to imagine that he is popular for anybody playing Herbert and Allen. Like, he's the natural run back.
You would think so. For that price, like, you can just get. There's no reason to pay. There's no reason to pay $1,000 more for Perriman, or like $3,000 more for Jameis Winston. Hey, Crowder's like 6,100.
61, yeah.
Like, there's no way I play Crowder just because I would go down to Mims if I wanted a piece of this game. And I think that's the key, is that I'd want a piece of this game. I'd want a piece of the run back against the Chargers. And I think that you get an offense that's going to throw the ball, you know, 20-something times in the second half. I think that I want the cheapest guy and who I think is the most dynamic guy.
I really wish they had Jameis Winston.
They'd actually probably start him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you wish they had Taysom Hill, though?
All right. That makes me feel a little bit better about him, I guess.
Do you go back at all to Jakeem Grant? He is a 3,500 this week. He came through for us last week at 3,000. I actually played him last week. We talked about him. It wasn't huge, though. He's 4 for 43 on 5 targets, but he scored the touchdown. He played 44 snaps. They had another. He almost scored another touchdown. They had another. His fifth target was another one in the end zone, too. But Tua seems to like him. I just don't. This offense is not like Carnival enough where you're going to get the huge game. I think I would play Mims and Hamler over Grant this week, but if you want to go at 3,500, I wouldn't argue too hard against you, against a guy that is obviously super, super fast, as we talked about last week.
Why do you think Tua likes him? Like,
maybe they've worked together in practice, or I don't know what it may be, but Tua clearly seems to like him.
I mean, he has 5 targets in each of the past 2 games. It's not like he has 10.
That's true, but they haven't thrown the ball very much either. I mean, considering he probably has, I don't know, I have to look at Devontae Parker's targets, but, you know, Tua threw the ball 28 and 25 times.
I think that's ultimately my problem. They just don't.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the way they're running their offense right now, it's tough to see a huge game out of Grant. There's enough guys down here I like a little bit more, I think, is what it comes down to this week.
You play Mims over him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd probably play Hamill over him, too.
Oh, okay.
So it's tough to get there. I think he's playable, but I think there's other guys I just like more. And I'm not sure I'm going to need it this week with Pittman and Rager in the mid fours. I just don't know if I need the 3,500 this week. The way it does come in, if we talk to the top, if you play Cook and Kamara, then you're going to need some guys down here. And I think these guys become a lot. You really have to look into them. Because when I did my Cook-Kamara lineup, I did it with Watson. Just to kind of see how that worked out. I didn't want to do it with Hill because, A, we didn't know he was starting, and, B, I don't think I want Hill and Kamara together. Mm-hmm. But there are decent lines. You play, like, a mid-threes tight end and a defense in the twos, it leaves you with, like, 5,100 for your three receivers. You play a couple cheap guys, you get one decently expensive guy. It does the Cook-Kamara lineup worked better than I thought it would when I first plugged it in, and I saw that I had $4,500 per slot once I put them in.
All right.
I don't think I'm selling you on the cheap receivers this week.
I was going to make the joke of how much money you think you could win if you played Hamler, Mims, and Grant, but the answer is obviously just zeros.
I wouldn't want all three of them by any means, but one of them with a Pittman or Rieger and then bump up to someone we talked about in the fives or sixes, I think is a lineup that it gets kind of fun.
Given how many times you've mentioned him on this podcast, I just really think at some point you're going to hit 6 digits with a KJ Hamler lineup so you can buy his jersey and put him up on your wall.
I'm certainly going to buy the jersey because I think I might talk about KJ Hamler more than anybody else.
You think he played for the Niners?
Maybe even like his coaches. I don't think they pay as much attention to him. tight ends this week. Interesting week. We've got no Kelsey. We've got no Kittle, obviously. No one over 5,000 at tight end. I've got 3 guys at tight end that I'm going to be playing in my lineups and then maybe some cheaper guys. But where are you going at tight end this week? What do you think?
How much is Hunter Henry one of those guys?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, how many times do you have to not have a good game?
I mean, he scored last week, and everybody's like, oh, there's the touchdown regression. I'm like, dude, he had 30 yards. That's 5 straight games, 35 yards or less. Just no. No. And he's 46. Why is he 4,600?
Right.
Why is he not 3,600? Like, why? 4,600 makes no sense. Like, why is he $300 cheaper than Andrews? Mark Andrews hasn't done a lot this year, but... like, there's no way I play Henry over Andrews for essentially the same price.
Yeah, I agree. I think given that all of these guys are fully touchdown dependent for their upside. So, like, you're not going to get a Kittle or Kelsey 10 catch for 110 yards, although those guys probably score with those lines anyway. But, like,
right, of course.
I think if you looked at anytime touchdown odds – and salary, and just took the best ratio, then that's fine. Like, I don't think there's any, there's no must have tight end. I don't think, like, I think you can make a reasonable case for pretty much everyone. I don't think there needs to be a situation where you're like, oh, if I just need to find the 300 to get up. Like, I don't think that exists. And so, I think, yeah, like if you just look who has the best touchdown odds, go nuts. I like, if Ridley doesn't play, I like the idea of Hayden Hurst, who
That's one of my three that I had considered.
Yeah. 22 targets in the last three games. Like, they just, he's involved enough. And so, like,
but he has 50 plus yards in the last four games too. Like, we talk about these guys like touch it, like Hockenson and these guys that get like 30 yards, but score. Hurst is over 50 yards in four straight games. I mean, that's pretty good with how bad tight ends been this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Any thoughts on Jared Cook? So you can play two tight ends on FanDuel.
That's a beautiful lineup. The two tight ends from the same team. You don't get that very often.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I'm not playing Jared Cook without Breeze. Dallas Goedert was very chalky last week. We talked about him a bunch. I didn't think he was going to be quite as popular as he was.
I was shocked to see just like we were like, people will play him. He's going to be popular, yeah. But like,
he was like 20%. I mean, yeah. I was shocked by that. I guess he kind of, it just made sense, but he was 4 for 33. He got hurt early, came back, did play 62 snaps. He's dropped down to 3,800 this week. I think that he does have 13 targets the last couple of weeks. I think he's a guy that's obviously talented, was good in the offense last year. Under 4,000, I think he's playable again. I think that maybe people are off him because he was so bad last week. He didn't do very much, but I hate to tell you, but no tight ends did anything last week. The top tight end last week was 13 points. Like, yeah. It's impossible that like one guy doesn't break out for, you know, 40 yards and two touchdowns, Jack Doyle or someone like that. But under 4,000, I think that Goddard is a pretty good go back this week.
I think he is just as fine as anyone else. Like,
yeah, that's kind of where it falls.
Yeah, I think the benefit of Goddard is that we've seen good games out of him, that like including like volume games, not just like, oh yeah.
Like, he has a little bit of upside if the game breaks the right way. Like, yeah. And a lot of these guys, you pretty much, like you said, you have to get a touchdown for it to work.
Yeah, like even somebody like Noah Fant, like they're not, like he's been getting a decent number of targets, but like he just, I've like written about or said like over and over like how he's like a big play threat, and he hasn't had a single one since then. So like, but like 4,700 for Jonnu Smith is just wild to me, that anybody would consider that. But I guess that's why you consider it, because why would you play that?
And the thing with Fant is it's just hard when you have such a dynamic weapon like KJ Hamler on the offense. It's hard. Sorry, go ahead. I had to.
I actually thought you were going to make like a longer point about Judy and how they.
No, sorry.
Well played, Scott. Well played.
Had to get one more in there.
Who else got bolded there?
What about early season darling Logan Thomas coming on a little bit? If you're going to go really cheap, he's 3,300. He has six targets each of the last 2 weeks with Alex Smith. We talked about how he goes to commit Kissing McLaurin, but Thomas has been involved a little bit. Alex Smith is never going to throw the ball down the field, so you like that with a tight end. I think he was 4 for 66 last week. I think that if you want to get cheap, I don't have a problem with Logan Thomas at 3,300 this week.
I think that's a good call. Over 60 yards in two of his last three, so that's always nice.
Yeah, like, and we're talking about tight end is just a disaster right now, and if you're going to give me 60 yards for a guy for 3,300, I would take that at tight end really quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Irv Smith still out?
Just like
limited. I mean, I'm not gonna play Rudolph, but
yeah,
Smith was a funny one a few weeks ago because people, I don't even remember which game, whatever the two touchdown game was, everyone's like, see, like we knew he was gonna hit, and he had four targets and 10 yards
and played 22 snaps.
Yeah,
like, it's like, come on,
what did we see? Yeah. I don't know.
But and yet the Minnesota
situation might be something worth diving into.
Yeah, I'm probably just playing the receiver or Cook and not even thinking about the tight ends, to be honest. But
yes.
Let's jump into defenses real quick. My favorite defense got kind of shattered this morning. I've really liked the Browns this week at 3,000. They have 8 sacks the last 3 weeks. The Eagles have given up 16 sacks the last 4 weeks. Like, they're obviously letting me get killed, but Myles Garrett went on the COVID list this morning, and he leads the NFL in sacks 8.5. And you can't play this defense if you take off the best sack guy in the league. Like, I just... They were 3,000 draft because I was really looking forward to playing them, and I don't think it works anymore.
Yeah, that's a bummer. They obviously benefited from the win two of the last three games, or
yeah,
was it both of their last two? Either way, but
yeah, it was
definitely not as fun.
So what are you doing at defense then? I had two bolded down in the cheaper range. Obviously, I think the Steelers will be, if you're going to spend, the Steelers are the way to go. They're playing against Jacksonville. The Steelers lead the NFL with 5.9 sacks plus turnovers per game. So if you put those two together, they force a lot of sacks, force a lot of turnovers. They have 12 sacks the last 4 weeks. Jacksonville's allowed 10. So that works, but they're $4,600 on DraftKings, $5,000 on FanDuel. They're really expensive. Where do you go if you want to save a little bit of money off Pittsburgh?
So the one that jumped out at me at the beginning, which they didn't like totally jump out, are the Bengals against football team at 2,300 on DraftKings. Playing into the fact that Alex Smith basically can't move. So there's that. But you have to at least consider, even though they're really bad, you have to consider the Falcons at 2,300, right? Against Taysom Hill. No, but seriously,
yeah, I just don't know if they throw the ball around enough for him to make mistakes. But yeah, I mean, a guy making his first start who's thrown whatever the stat was, how many attempts you said he had all year in his snaps. But yeah, the Atlanta defense is so bad. But my concern would be that they just run the ball a ton and just never really do much for Atlanta to make a play.
What's the passing difference in your head if you had to project how many passing yards Taysom Hill would have or if they started Josh Hill at quarterback?
You can play him at tight end 4,200 on FanDuel also. I would have liked the Falcons D more with Jameis.
Sure. For sure.
Just because Jameis is going to push the ball and make mistakes and didn't look really good in his game last week. Boy, I'm bummed that I don't get to fade Jameis. I was hoping for Jameis high percentage at 5,900. But the other defense down here I do like. I actually like Minnesota this week against the Cowboys. 3,400 on DraftKings. So they're pretty fairly cheap and not dirt cheap, but kind of in that middle range. Minnesota had four sacks last couple weeks, but five forced turnovers, say that fast. Dallas allowed 12 sacks last 3 weeks. Dallas has multiple turnovers in seven of their last eight games, which seems like an almost impossible stat. You look at the stats, you're like, oh, there's a couple multiple turnover games, but there's just some zeros and ones in there. Seven of eight, they're really turning it over. I think Dalton maybe helps that a little bit, but maybe he forces some stuff. I think that Minnesota 3,400 is probably my favorite under 4,000 play this week.
I think that's a good call. That certainly makes sense.
Yeah, you got Washington if you want to go under 3,000 going against Cincinnati. But I was kind of surprised. You think rookie quarterback Joe Burrow, we've seen some clips of him making mistakes. He only threw five interceptions all year. Yeah. I was a little bit surprised. I thought that number would have been eight or nine or maybe even 10. But
especially just given how many passes he throws.
Exactly, the dropbacks, right? Yeah. Since he's given up four-plus sacks in three of the last five games, it's a big number. Washington knew well last week, only one sack against Detroit, but they had 11 sacks the prior 2 weeks, and they can clearly get after the quarterback. So if you want to go under 3,000, I think that the football team does work, but I'd probably bump it up to 500 with the Vikings with kind of that turnover-prone Cowboys offense.
Yeah, that's you have to think, Dalton's back, so that helps them a little bit, but it's not Dak, so
it ain't Dak, that's for sure. Yeah. So, any other defense down here? I mean, I think people will probably play the Chargers against your Jets, but the Chargers have been a little quiet on defense, and they're 4,000 on drafting, so I think I would go cheaper. The Jets have only allowed two sacks the last couple weeks. They're protecting the quarterback pretty well. They don't do a lot on offense, but they haven't been getting sacks or making as many mistakes. So
it's because Flacco is so mobile that he can just avoid this. He's like Kyler back there.
When you get someone that fast, it's just hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Shifty.
Every time Flacco comes up, I still get bummed about that friggin' Super Bowl. So bad. But anybody else you want to talk about? I think we've kind of hit across the board on a slate that's very interesting in the way it built with the non-expensive players at certain positions and then the two big guys at running back. So I think I think building this week is going to be really, really fun and obviously really always important. But I think percentages are a little more spread out this week aside from maybe Cook and Kamara than we've seen in the last few weeks. We've had some quote unquote free squares or, guys that you just play automatically. I think it separates the field out a little bit this week. I think you get some more interesting spread out percentages of GPPs, which for me, I always enjoy playing more.
Yeah, I think, depending on how many people actually buy into this Taysom Hill thing, which I don't mean buy in that he's playing because he's playing, but if you build around Taysom Hill, then your lineup is obviously going to be significantly different just construction-wise. And if you play somebody like Watson or you just, pay up for Lamar or whatever it is, that's enough of the differentiation. That maybe the middle guys, there's just, we obviously hit on every price range at every position, but if you're going to play the cheap quarterback, there's generally going to be you're going to be able to get Cook You could play Cook and Kamara if you want. You're going to be able to play at least one expensive wide receiver. Like, that's what saving $2,000 a quarterback can do. And so if you decide not to go there, then you're just going to have to hope that Hill is just total garbage and the quarterback, Watson is great. And then you have to hope that the difference between Hill and, you know, Davante Adams, if he plays, is bigger than Watson and Deontay Johnson, we can call it. There's just a lot of different ways to go, but
how many
construction could be based on the quarterback.
How many points does Hill have to score at 4,800 for you to be happy that you decided to play him? 18? 20?
Yeah, I was going to say 15, but like 15 is not enough. Like, I think that ultimately the problem you have with quarterback is that some of them are just putting up such big scores that you're just at such a disadvantage. Even if it's like, oh, we went 3X or 4X. Like,
yeah, I don't think that when, the X is a quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, when the raw points is still only 18 to 20, like 20 is probably more than enough. Like,
okay.
But 20 might be tough to get without some like ridiculous rushing touchdown bailout or something like that. But
I don't think that's ridiculous though. I mean, he's gonna have some shots at rushing touchdowns. They're gonna run plays for that. I think you have to get the rushing touchdown for it to really work. Yeah. To be honest, I think that you're not getting 300 yards and 3 passing touchdowns. I think you can kind of throw that away, obviously. But one rushing touchdown, one passing touchdown, 50 yards rushing and 180 yards passing probably works, I guess, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I mean,
doing the math in my head, that probably gets you right around 20.
Do you think he gets the 100-yard rushing bonus?
it's certainly in play, right?
I mean, it's certainly more in play than the 300-yard passing bonus. So
I would definitely bet on 100 yards rushing before 300 passing for sure.
Okay. All right. The prop lines will be really interesting.
Yeah, it's a wild baby. 4,800 for a guy in this offense and with rushing potential. Like, you can certainly see the path to being a pretty good floor guy, but I don't see it because I just think that the range of outcomes is so wide with him. Like, do you see any way he has a ceiling like 30 plus point game? Like, I just don't see that path unless he rushes 3 touchdowns or something like that.
I mean, he could rush for 3 rushing touchdowns. Not crazy.
It's not. And if he does that, obviously you're dead if you don't play him. But
I think it's actually funny that he could have a ceiling game and absolutely ruin Thomas and Kamara.
Yeah,
like that's what a quarterback doing that is. It's odd to see a quarterback having a huge game. Obviously, it's because of the rushing, but and then his top two receivers. We think.
I just don't think. I think it works as a gimmicky kind of thing because teams aren't planning for it. I think that. Planning for it. I mean, the Falcons only have a couple days to plan for it, but they've probably been planning for it anyway. I'm sure they've been not just only playing for Jameis, but I think they'll have some sort of defense for it. But my question, final question for you is on FanDuel, where he's 4,500 at tight end, what is his percentage? Just say like the big FanDuel million, that it's like a $5 entry. What is his percentage at tight end? Is it like 80%?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I think everybody's going to talk about it too. So it's not one of those plays that like is sneaky in the community or maybe some guys are playing, but at 4,500 at tight end for a quarterback, like I just don't see how you don't play that. In a position that's
especially
in the
slate. It's not like
Yeah. It's
not like you can say like, well, I know everybody's going to play Taysom Hill, so I'll play Kittle.
Right.
Like there's just obviously there's a way, but like there's such a small way that one tight end on this slate will be good enough to outweigh literally even if he's the worst quarterback in the league this week. Having a tight end probably needs to score twice to like really outscore him.
And especially on FanDuel, where the price is a little bit higher. I mean, he's $1,500 less than TJ Hockenson. Like, I don't know how you, he's $1,000 less than Hurst. He's $1,300 less than Goddard.
He should be zero. Like no.
Yeah. He shouldn't be a tight end. Obviously that's huge, especially with Breeze getting hurt. Like how did you let that happen? That he's still a tight end with Breeze playing, like, whatever, put him wherever you want. Nobody's going to play him anyway. Who cares? But with Breeze out, like, how do you not?
I mean, in fairness, it took us until 10:30 Eastern on Friday to, like, actually come to, like, find out that he's going to start. Like, even if.
But you got to list him there just in case.
That's true. Just, like, the whole week, everyone was like, oh, well, like, Taysom might start. You never know. Yeah. And then here we are Friday. Like, he's actually starting. And we're just like, oh, now. now we actually have to talk about this because he's here.
Yeah, it's wild. So, all right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. We do always appreciate it. If you could please rate or review the podcast, that'd be great. Also, if you want to follow Andrew on Twitter, he is at RotoWire Andrew. I am at Scott Genstad. Genstad is J-E-N-S-T-A-D. We'll obviously be talking some football on there. Andrew will be talking some soccer. I'll probably be talking some basketball with the awful basketball week that I had with the Klay Thompson injury. But we're talking a little bit there. We're talking a lot of football, so please join us on there too. Other than that, hope everybody has a great week. 11, we're back at you next week. Andrew, what is our schedule next week with Thanksgiving? Do we still Friday morning?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure with you. All right. So we're back at you next Friday morning talking about week 12. Hope you guys have a great one. Take care.